And I heard a farmer, he was complaining that he used donkeys for transportation for his product, and he had them wanting that was his. But no, he got a rent donkeys. And then he done said his product, no, his money become less, having to pay, you know, the price for transportation. And it really worries me. And I wonder if the African countries, when they make agreements between them and China, if they have to pay back the money that comes from China, if it's a loan, if they pay half, if they pay all, if they don't pay any at all. And I wonder where's the agreement.
So there is no difference in what's happening now with what has always happened in developing countries by countries that have moved in to assist with the development. If one studies the history of the African continent, the Caribbean, any place, it was the ivory from elephants at one point, from elephant tusks. It was hides from various animals. In the United States, it was buffalo meat when the colonizers moved in. In the Caribbean, it was the extinction of the people that were found there, and we grew tobacco and cane and whatever the colonizers wanted. So there's nothing happening today that has not happened for centuries. It all comes back to what price you have to pay for the expansion of your country or the development of your country. And China is now the powerhouse in passing out money and loans and sending their people in to... They're exporting people in addition to the aid they're giving. They're exporting people. And they're sending their workers in to, quote-unquote, assist. Now, there are times when they may or may not conform to building practices because there may be no guidelines under which they operate. And even in countries where there are guidelines, depending on what you use, you could have, you know, substandard work being done, or you could have everlasting work being done. It all depends on what the price you pay. We have cases in the Caribbean here where we've had stadia constructed for World Cup that some of them didn't stand up to hurricanes, some of them did. So, you know, so it's the price we pay.
The trouble is that when the government lacks, then they take short corners, you know what I mean?
Well, which is what I said.
Yeah. No. And the other problem is the Africans, some of them worry about extinction.
Yep, and they should. Because, you see, again, and here's the other part of development that I don't think sometimes we pay attention to, and it's this. The question of how the people who come in assimilate.
Right.
Because there are places where a migrant population assimilates into your standard of living, your quality of life, and the way of your country. They merge with your population.
But that is not what happened in
the country. Others, right. There are others who cling to their traditions, their way of life, and it's the country that has to adjust to their way of living. And that's one of the things we have to learn to manage in the region when we look at things like what we call citizenship by investment.
Okay.
Now, there are people who call it selling passports, and there are people who call it all sorts of other strange things, right? But if you have a situation where you encourage people to come to your country and invest, and because they've invested in your country, you give them citizenship, then you have to see how they assimilate with your local population, whether it's rubbing against your population or whether they are following your norms and practices.
But the BBC program said there's not even assimilation.
They won't, sir, because when especially with people who don't speak your language or who are steeped in tradition. And the Eastern countries, the Chinese, Japanese, the Orientals, are very strong on tradition and very strong on elder and very strong on culture. So it is not easy for them to bend and say, okay, I will become a Bajan overnight, or become a Trinidadian overnight, or become a Nigerian or, you know, South African overnight, or even perhaps over three generations. And they're Chinese, people of Chinese origin who came to Barbados who speak with a Bajan accent.
Okay.
But I don't think their cultures and traditions are Bajan yet. They still speak their own language among themselves and follow the traditions. I lived in Trinidad and Tobago that has had a Chinese descended population from I don't know how long.
Right.
But the traditions, even though their children may work in banks up to the managerial level, on weekends, they go back to their parents' restaurants and to their parents' laundries and work for their parents, alongside their parents, and pay them homage, because that's what the tradition says.
Yeah,
you respect your parents and the family until you're dead.
You know?
They go in the bank and call shots.
Yeah.
But when they get back in the family laundry,
They
are humble and bend to their grandparents who still sometimes can't speak a word of English.
Yeah, I understand.
That's their tradition.
One other little point is that some of the Chinese, even now, they are attacking the elephants for the tusk.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're brought before the court, next thing you know, they slip out and back to China. You don't see them.
You don't know. Yeah, sir, and that too. And you see, again, it comes back to something. I'll bring it back to the Caribbean again. And thanks for your contribution, because we got to go to the regional roundup. But this is what I'm saying about the Caribbean. When we talk about freedom of movement, we can't make it freedom of entry. Because if you do not know who comes into or out of your country, you can't regulate what they do there. And if they run afoul of the law, you can't regulate them coming back in. Because we have had cases in the Caribbean here where people have committed crimes in Barbados, been sent out to Barbados and returned on a different passport with a different name. And they've done it on more than one occasion, which means we have a hole in the bucket. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Wednesday edition. We got the regional roundup and more of your calls. Stay with us. 417.90, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I got some people here who are having fun. But on a very serious note, I wanna extend my condolences to the family and the friends, and indeed the DJ fraternity. Franz was, I think, one of the people who brought what I would call respectability, if I could use that term, to the DJ trade and fraternity. Andrew Lohar, Admiral Nelson, Franz, these guys took the business seriously. They saw the business of the business. And I think, sad loss. But anyway, said earlier that, a dying breed, and perhaps we're right. We are right. Maybe a dying breed, but anyhow. To those who have survived and to those who knew him, someone sent me a WhatsApp message that says, can I be sued if I ran a full-page ad saying that the Dems are no longer employed by the citizens of Barbados and as such are not authorized to conduct business on their behalf? Well, the most you might be asked is who elected you to speak for the rest, but I don't think you could be sued for it. You may be ridiculed. You may even be, as people say, victimized, but I don't think you could be sued. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. 4341790. Good afternoon.
Yes, I hear the beat now. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, I didn't get the name of the gentleman you just...
Franz Phillips.
Okay.
He was from the northern end of Barbados. The northern side of Barbados. He wasn't on a station. He was a DJ.
As far as I know,
Franz was not employed by a radio station, but he was a DJ.
Okay, that's why I'm really familiar with him, because I hear you mention some other names that I'm familiar with.
They transitioned, Admiral and Anthony Lohar transitioned to radio. Franz, as I said, was one of the people I thought who took the business of DJ seriously. He saw it as being a business, not something that you just do because you want to do it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I consider guys like Franz and Anthony Lohar and those guys as being, you know, guys who understood the business of playing music at nightclubs. And, you know, these guys used to walk around with briefcases and, you know, look like businessmen conducting business. Franz had a, I think, a fondness for fast cars and race horses. But that's because of the, I suppose, his heritage. Oh, yeah, Shane Boudou, too. Thank you. Somebody reminded me of Shane. Yes, absolutely. Shane made a business of the business. Yep, indeed. Yeah, yes, sir. You were saying. Sorry about that.
Right. I feel that Admiral and those guys should have teach these young DJs the business thing.
They can't.
Oh, they can't.
It's a different kind of business. You see, and that's why I said they started the business of the business. It's because of guys like those that the other people who today make money emulating the Jamaican dancehall type of DJ. That's what the business is today. The business is toasting, which is what the Jamaicans do, talking over songs. Those fellas did not do that. Those guys understood music. They understood how to read their crowd and how to blend music, how to mix music, and how to keep their crowd on the dance floor and spending money at the bar. That's why they were employed. They made money for the organizations they worked with.
Right. And I gotta say that the young people ain't get to really know what the older people probably, they're looking for something different, or they're getting conditioned the wrong way, or getting into this type
it's
of
it's the thing. Way they're making money, sir. That's the all they're doing. They're making money. They're making money doing what they do. So I stand here at Starcom Network in the car park at the back, right? And I hear someone who, I don't know what they do for a living, but they're playing music top level over in the ZR stand and cussing people outright in obscene four-lettered and other lettered words across the song. And I hear the person arrested. I hear that they causing a public nuisance. I hear them shut down. I stand in the car park and it's not a recording. It's someone doing it live. But that's what they do.
Okay. I want to start out two points. I want to start off with this one. The reason why we need to. I agree with your conversation. You said you agree with what Miss Africa had to say about people already know what they want and who they're voting for.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But politics is just like the religion. You need to win souls. Because the only reason you can tell me you need a campaign, I think it's 2 weeks, Dennis, or three?
The maximum you can have is, I think, just 21 days.
Right. The only reason you can actually be in government or opposition, what have you, and you can now come. I mean, it's mostly the government, really, because the people should judge you by your performance, right? The only reason why you can come out now to try to tell me things is trying to win my heart or something, or win my soul, right? Cause I think there was a gentleman in parliament that used that term very strongly, that he have souls to win. So it's about capturing the imagination of people and trying to see if you could win their hearts, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
At your age, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, and I'm not asking you what your age is. Whatever your age is, you think anyone can come along now and win your soul or win your heart politically or religiously?
No.
Good. Okay. That's all I wanted. Good.
And that's because I'm a thinking man, Dennis Johnson.
Sir, but right? Sir, and that's why I do not assume that everyone is not. I don't know why people allow politicians to think that they can be swayed.
But it happens, though.
No, it doesn't.
I can tell you.
No, it doesn't. No, sir, it doesn't. No, it does not.
I can tell you something, but I can tell you a fact. I got someone that I know that went and vote because someone called her. That's actually why she vote, right? And you tell me someone called her and had a conversation with her. That's why she vote for them.
So let me say to you, right? People fall out with you before they fall in with somebody else. And I put in that every way you want to look at it. Socially, politically, romantically, any other how. Nobody could drag anybody away from you. They have to fall out with you before they fall in with somebody else. Have to. I know no other way to do it. If somebody is swayed because I say, I will give you X or I will give you Y, is because they're looking. If they weren't looking, they ain't gonna bother with you. I ain't care what you come with. They ain't gonna bother with you unless they're looking. So it ain't about they being swayed by nobody else.
But then again, Dennis, they got these people that don't really be got that political interest, you know. They just like once they could get going to market, but
so,
you know.
So therefore, sir, yeah, they are looking. So it's not that they're swayed, it's that they're looking.
Right, looking at the pocket. Okay.
They're looking. Whatever they're looking at, I don't know. They're looking. They're looking.
All right. My next point I would make in the sake of the children. If you want to know how the children get, so I think it would be the adults, because usually the adults is who got to lead, right? So the children would be looking at you and actually learning from you. So you, the next generation, that, as the song say, will blame the next one. So this one here for your children, right? Not really me, really. And it will take you back to your beginning when you actually ask, God, there's a growing community knowing things different. When you ask if you have to, when you come to power, that you got to declare your sexual preference. What do you think? You think that someone should, Mr. Johnson, or it is none of your business? Me and your business?
It is absolutely none of your or my business. The reason being, I don't know what you do in your house by yourself. You don't know what I do in my house by myself or with anybody else for that matter. The comment I made was that the person that I spoke to, who is my nephew, said to me, it's because of social media that the question was asked and the person had to respond. And the person did respond. And my question, and he said, that's the way things are today. Meaning that social media determines the questions you ask, as opposed to you asking the question because you want to find out. You see, and that's the difference. That's the line that I'm drawing. If I ask you your sexual preference, what are God do with me? The first question that if anybody asked me was my sexual preference, or I asked them, why are you asking me? What do you want to find out for? Okay, so my thing is, if somebody is assuming the office of Governor General and your question is, what's your sexual preference? The lady answered it admirably. But my question is, why are you asking me this? Because somebody posts a picture of me on social media, or because somebody says? You know, somebody asked Dame Eugenia Charles once why she never married. And she said, nobody was brave enough to ask me. What that tells you, sir? Nothing. Just tells you that she's good at answering questions.
But what I mean is, I still commend the lady for actually responding, right? Because if it is being said out there that you is that, and you make it clear, I think people got more respect for you, right?
Let me ask you something. You follow social media? You on Facebook?
Yeah, I follow social media.
You on Facebook?
Yeah, you're on Facebook, yeah.
Okay, on Twitter and all the other media, right?
Not Twitter, but okay. On other things.
If you were not on it, would you know that the question was raised on social media?
Well, the answer would be no.
Thank you very much. Okay, done with that.
But what I'm saying, Dennis Johnson, right? It ain't only me, but it is following a press conference I hear Mr. Arthur had to say, right? He got his children to raise and so on. And people that he could be more open to speak than me, because I could get... Why? Mm-hmm. Because I believe that why I will got to say will get cut, or I will get cut off, and then you don't want to hear me.
Let me say it to you, right? Uh-huh. I hear people pushing that line all the time, right?
Okay.
Let me say this to you, because I said it online to somebody yesterday. Let me say this to you. There is nothing you can say, if said properly, that cannot go out on air. Nothing.
Okay.
What you have to do is learn to say what you want to say in a manner that will let it go out on air. There is nothing that Mr. Arthur could say that would get on air if he said it incorrectly. He would be cut. is he ain't going to get on there because he's Mr. Arthur. He might sit in Parliament and get away with it and have it expunged.
A press conference.
You can't sit at a press conference and get away with it, sir. If it is against the law, he'd be sued.
But he's saying in a decent way, then. Let me put it that way. Right? So that you can read between the lines.
So there's no reading between the lines. You choose to get out of it where you get out of it because of who said it and what you think.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is what I mean, Dennis Johnson.
So I know what you mean. You ain't listening to me as usual. You want to stick with what you want to stick on by not listening to me. But that's all right, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm told I have an overseas call I was trying to get through. Let me see if I can get them. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm calling from Toronto. I'm a Barbadian.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just up here dealing with some matters, some family matters and whatnot. Today, I'll give you a little bit of report. Today is 0 degrees and Torontonians are saying that it's warm.
It's a good day.
As you know. Yeah.
It's a good day.
Spring is... Yeah, it's a good day. Yeah, spring and winter are fighting each other to try and see what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the what I heard and listening on the conversations yesterday with your colleague and the distinguished panel, mm-hmm. you know, the narrative that I'm not hearing is I've for years, I've wondered why I'm not hearing about true wealth creation, like generational wealth. And wealth management, especially when it comes to the most vulnerable, disenfranchised, disallowed, disconnected, like folks who are like you know, don't have a clue basically because they've never really been involved in the economic scheme of things. And like just like all these catchphrases I hear and all these workshops, it's all a joke. It doesn't work. Like you have to really. First of all, the Constitution of Barbados is outdated, archaic, and barbaric to its people. It needs to be changed. You know, like all these special interest groups that are always catered to, and like it's just nuts. Like I just don't understand. Like for the life of me, when is it really going to change?
So it's the challenge is twofold. One, the status quo is hard to buck. I asked the Minister of Culture yesterday off the air, and I asked the rest of the people in the room too, how are you going to get people to blow the whistle on corruption if they're profiting from it? There is no reason why they should. And if I am not profiting from the corruption that I am supposedly seeing, how am I going to buck the status quo in a country as small as Barbados? I don't care what whistleblower legislation you put into place. If you're a Barbadian, you know Barbados. And if I know you, and you know me, and we whisper to each other over a beer, and then you whisper to your other beer friend over a beer, and then you whisper to your whiskey friend over a scotch, that story is out. Whistleblowing legislation and protecting the whistleblower, unless you change the man identity to something from Uzbekistan and fly him out today, he can be found out in Barbados because we're small. The challenge that you face, sir, is this. I still think it is in Barbados. It is a bad word in Barbados to say, I make a good living or I profit. Because people either begin to say, you're thiefing, you're dealing in drugs, or you're paying off somebody to get where you get. So people tend to hide the fact that they're successful. If you do that, how will you encourage somebody, as you say, the disenfranchised, those who don't get the breaks, to say, but I want to valet cars for a living because people who valet cars make a good living. You know, and if you have a case where somebody begins a valet business and somebody comes and buy him out or run him out of business. I mean, look at the fight we have now over beach chairs and umbrellas. Huh? Beach chairs and umbrellas are now a fight between hoteliers and the small operators on the beach, sir.
You see what's happening? Yeah.
So here's a guy who says, I'm going to buy 100 shares at $40 a piece. I can put it on the beach and I can make money. And here's a hotel saying, I will buy 2,000 shares I would get them at a dollar piece and move you off the beach because it's my hotel, it's my guest. You ain't selling them a beach chair for $5 and an umbrella and a towel when I could sell it for $20, include it in the price and make more money. See what will happen? You end up with a fight as opposed to saying, let us all share in the pie.
In the pie, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You know what? Like Barack Obama said, look, prosperity, I would never forget his words, Mr. Johnson, prosperity will never trickle down. The people that have it will never
hold
let
on to
go
it.
Of it. Yeah. Right. Yep. And you have to start from the bottom up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, it's like some, like, Barbara, I know it's going to come to a time, everything always for a time.
True.
That it will change. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about symbolic change, I mean real change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the day is coming when Barbadians, you can, like Bob said, you can fool some people, sometimes you can't
fool all people, all the time.
No, no, you can't. And people will realize, even the average man on the street will realize, hey, hold on a minute, you know what, like, how come like us in this community didn't get, say, a shot at some of the six-man project up in St. Peter? Why didn't we get a cut out of that? Yeah. Or, like, why didn't we get a cut out of the housing project that was done by, I don't want to call it a company,
okay.
An established company in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Only a selected group of people, I've noticed, have really gotten out in this last, in this administration in the last 10 years. And, like, and I'm telling myself, wait, hold on a minute. Like, Barbadians don't realize that something is wrong with this picture. Like, come on now. I mean, like, it's not rocket science. It's
so, but and you see, and the reason why, unfortunately, that will be the case is because there are always people who will say, look, if I buck the status quo, if I make myself unpopular, it can be worse for me than the bad state I'm in now. So let me hush. And hopefully, you know, what goes wrong will come around. And if it doesn't come around, they'll say, well, the next time it will come around. I said to the folks in here yesterday, my challenge with all I'm hearing from the parties represented yesterday was this. How do we get to the stage where we get our business community to understand that the better they make the business environment in Barbados for everybody, the more their businesses will grow because that's the nature of business in Barbados. And unless we get to the situation where we realize that there is a stake in the pie for everybody and we need to find out how to make that particular person's stake richer so they don't try to get richer by cutting off my stake. You see, that's what we're playing here in Barbados. I could buy more buses than you. I could buy more umbrellas than you. I could buy more chairs than you. Come and fight with me and you're going to lose. That is not the way you grow business. The way you grow business is by saying, let me see how good I can make your business so that my guests leave my hotel and don't raise my expenses and go to you and enjoy themselves just as well as if they were across by me. That way, we are both benefiting from this person who's come to Barbados to enjoy themselves. I worked in the industry for 12 years, and I've seen people come back to Barbados because of taxi drivers, bellmen, barmen. I never hear one say I come back because of the general manager, yet. But I'm open to suggestions. Thanks for your call, sir. I hope the temperature rises above zero. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, and we go until 2 o'clock. Graham Vaughan, technical operator, producer John Stout, who can be all things, I think, technical operator, producer, and production assistant. Yeah. He's at the other end taking care of the phone lines, and I'm Dennis Johnson. Good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
How are you doing, sir?
I am doing all right. I'm doing all right.
I was going to say, it just woke me up from the doze, but I don't know how to be nice.
No, that's all right. You can say that.
I just woke because it was you, you know. Otherwise, I
it's good
sleeping.
It's good to know that I could still wake up somebody.
That's right.
Mr.
Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk something about public relations and marketing today, because I know that's kind of up your street. You have some insights in these areas.
Really?
But before I get to that, it was interesting that you mentioned, you know, that strip of beach there along Bay Street?
Yes, sir. Browns Beach.
When that was affected by, I think, some Oak Grove Community Hospital some years ago.
And then up by Mobile, you used to have some problems up there too.
That's right.
Behind the Hilton, yeah.
That's right. And you used to have to do bacterial tests every so often to make sure that it was
the
okay.
The water was okay.
Going.
Yes.
But I don't want to go on that now, because that is something that, you know, it's history now. But we have always had these environmental problems that we had to deal with. Mr. Johnson?
Two things. Before you move on to that, you move off of that, let me make one point, though. As my nephew pointed out to me, back then, we did not have social media. And
that has
changed the way media responds and people respond to these things. Yeah.
You're great. Great.
And
right,
that is, that I said to him, point taken. I backed off of that. Couldn't argue with him on that point.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson, we just had a situation here with this leaking sewer situation. And I believe, this is my belief, that we have the Barbados Tourism Authority, we have the Barbados Hotel and Tourism Association. And that when that situation first emerged, I've said that the executives from those two organizations should have got together and come up with a public relations bulletin that could have been sent to any part of the world. And we would have dealt with that one time, and it would have been accompanied by a picture of Barbados demarking the area that the sewage leak is leaking, because you don't want to get the beaches confused. You don't want to say South Coast, and then people sit thinking the beaches. I thought that the two organizations there were reluctant in coming forward to accept responsibility, because tourism is not only their business, tourism is their existence. And personally, I think that the executives in that area, you know, should not just jump at every opportunity to come and make a speech. But when you have situations on your hand that demand immediate action, you have to deal with it. You cannot wait, because the world is not waiting on us. And I've said before, paper qualification is not intellectual qualification or quantification. And we have failed to marry the two. And that is why we are having all these problems that could be stopped. Nick in the bud.
Let me wait,
and then it blows up in our face, and then we start to make excuses.
Sir, but isn't that the way we've handled our affairs for years? The
exactly,
way to do
Mr.
it
Johnson.
Is to keep quiet, pretend it doesn't happen, and if we don't say anything, you know, nobody will know. And when people start screaming and shouting about it, they say, oh, yeah, we knew, we're working on it, by which time it's too late, because it's, you know, The horse bolt, it licked down a whole set of people and injured itself in the process. So the problem we have is that I think the reaction was, well, the people who hear him making no noise, I mean, go back and look at the news reports. There have been no fall off in bookings. You know, we're still looking good. Bumper season expected. Everybody holding strain. And then all of a sudden we hear we lost millions.
Mr. Johnson, we had
two ministers who say everything is fixed and pull up a sign, sir. So you see, that is the wrong way to do it.
Mr. Johnson, I believe that.
I'm glad you finally say so.
When we have these issues, we should collaborate. All the people involved in any way should collaborate.
I can't disagree with that.
And come up with
a single statement.
A single statement.
I agree.
Because the world can hear. You don't have to go up on New York or London. The world can hear. And as I said before, I would put a picture of Barbados, a map of Barbados, maybe 6 feet square or something, and mark the area where it is affected.
The problem with doing that, sir, is this. And this is, this again, since you tell me I was dabbling this. The problem with doing that is this. The people who in that area will tell you that you making it uncomfortable for them. And that you spoiling their business. It is a reaction to what I say is the way we do things. It ain't bothering me, don't bother. For example, I can give you a classic example, because I went and I asked and I checked. I went to Massey Stores. I still can't get accustomed to calling that. Massey Stores, Big B. Big B Supermarket, right? The young lady who was a checkout, not the young lady who was taking people out to their vehicles with their groceries, asked me if where I was parked. And I asked her why. She said, because I don't want to walk around that side of the building, the side around by where the post office is, because it smelled bad and I got to walk through the water, so I tried to avoid it. No, she's smiling, she's doing her job, but she knows that she has to put up with an inconvenience that she would rather not put up with, okay? No. This is an employee. I don't know how they employ them. I keep saying I got to check and find out whether they pay the stipend and whether they live off the $2 and the dollar that they get, or whether they actually get a salary. One of these days, I'll have an opportunity to sit down and chat with one of them. Mm-hmm. But my thing is this, sir. This is the person who is directly affected by what's happening. Mm-hmm. Now, the grocery may wash the aisles. They may wash the outside. They may spray disinfectant. But the young lady and the young gentleman who have to walk people to their cars have to go outside, have to walk through the smelly area so they could get $2 in their pocket. Now, you could tell me what you want to tell me about tourists bathing on the beach. You could tell me what you want to tell me about your hotel book up. You could tell me what you want to tell me about how I crying down Barbados and I don't like the government. A citizen of Barbados has to put up with that to take $2 home, sir. And to me, that's wrong. They should not have to do it. So my thing is, I agree with you. Whether it is the Member of Parliament for the area, the Minister of Tourism, the BHTA, the hoteliers, all of them, and the Water Authority say, this is our problem. Our problem. The nation's problem. Okay. This is what we plan to do. This is the time we plan to do it in. This is how you can help us. We will divert traffic here. We will do this there. We will do that. This is the national plan. We're going with this. This is what we tell the public. We update them every week, every month, whatever. And forget about this. Well, you know, it's all right by me. You're crying me down. That's nonsense. Does that make no sense?
Mr. Johnson, I have a little anecdote here I have to relate to you. I had a friend who was running a business on the West Coast. I'm not sure where there were two apartment blocks. Maybe more by now. They had a problem down there a couple of years back with the septic tanks. And an adjacent well that used to flow over when they have heavy rains. And the place used to be, you know, smelly, very smelly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people were forced to move out. And he was saying, you know, this thing happens to me all the time. Every time you get heavy rain, you get this thing. And I think him, well, yes. Now, I said, you're going to get out of this business. I said, well, normally you have a lot of clientele. I said, there's a simple answer to this problem. Your major problem is smell, and your second problem is mosquitoes. I'm going and buy 2 yards of kerosene oil and I'll bring it to you. 2 yards of kerosene oil. And all you got to do is spread that water from the morning, at midday, and evening. Wherever the water goes, the kerosene oil going with it. No smell. And no mosquitoes, full stop. And I dealt with that, and he did it.
He did it
up to the day, and got it fixed. He still gets it every now and then, but when he gets it, racks.
And you got it.
Mr. Johnson, this thing, you say you grew up around the garrison.
Oh yes, sir.
And I believe you have some regard for horse racing and so on.
I do.
Mr.
Actually.
Johnson, recently there was an announcement that they're going to have night race night garrison. Now you know. That has been refused on about 10 times already for different reasons. My position is this, sir. How are you going to have night racing when their racing is not doing so well? And it's not doing well because people can't find the time to come. It's just doing well because they need a public relations program. Because the older people who used to support horse racing, many of them have moved on or moved out. The young people will not come and stand for no sun. And run from no rain, you have to provide facilities that makes them comfortable when they leave home. And I've been standing at the Barbados Church Club for years. You have to provide some form of coverage. If you don't mind me quoting CUNY community, they put up their tents and they put up their little bathroom facilities and they have a little refreshment store. That's what people want. You can't expect people to come and stand in your sun and your rain. And as far as night racing is concerned, sir, I don't see how you want it, because first of all, sir, race horses do not see well. Horses do not see well in artificial light. That's the first thing. The second thing is that even if you decide that you can put flat racing at Garrison, which is not advisable. You imagine a horse race going down your back, straight down with 35 miles an hour, and you let go. You know what happened?
Huh? I don't want to think about it, sir.
We will have
horse corned beef and horse burgers for about 2 years.
I tell you, and about jockeys, 2 years. Jockeys would pay. You see,
they will be part of it. I know.
You think, sir? We like to copy. I was in North America, sir, and I can tell you, I have never seen any flat racing on that. Like, there are two other kind of races. I don't know if you're familiar, but the one is called harness racing. And one is called
The one that they sit on the chariot sled.
The jockey sits on a little trolley
at the back.
That's right. Yeah. He's not on your horse back.
No.
And they have to provide special harness for the horse's face. Because I don't know if you know, if a horse sees a shadow on the ground, he runs from it. You understand? So they've got to put a special thing called a gazer on the horse's face, up above his nose, so his eyes can't see down by his feet. Otherwise, all hell break loose. Now, I don't know what these people here are thinking, but if you can't, before you try to be racing, it's going to be very expensive, number one. Number two, you cannot have night racing unless you have a backup system, a very reliable backup system, that if the major, the primary lights go, that you can, you have a system that you can cut in right quickly before it starts to take place.
Let me give a free plug here. C.O. Williams. Oh, sorry. Well, you have
ahead,
Bushy
Mr.
Park. with lights. You have other places with lights. You have courts. But I listen, let me say to you,